If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it would take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
The following is a sponsored program. The opinions presented during this show may not necessarily represent those of Scripps Media Incorporated. Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Now, here's Money Talk.
Welcome to Money Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Dan Witham, your host and branch manager with LPL Financial. Joining me today in the studio, to my left, Mr. J.C. Haspel. How are you, sir?
Dan, I'm well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Good to have you here. Appreciate all of you out there listening to our show today. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend, whatever you might be doing. On today's show, we're going to talk about the emotional cost of investing, plus what truly causes losses in your portfolio, J.C. It's not what you think. How's that?
You got me on the edge of my seat, Dan. I don't even know what to say to that.
Good. We always give away a free book here on Money Talk. The book this week, The Emotional Investor, How Biases Influence Your Investment Decisions and What to Do About It. JC, how many people out there do you think invest emotionally?
A lot of them.
99.999% of the population, yes. I'd say. Actually, pretty much everybody except for one person. I think Warren Buffett might be the one exception in this country. So statistically, I'd say this covers most people. Most people do. They think they're a rational investor, JC, but they're really not. The truth is we are all emotional investors. Our emotions often cause us to make hasty and unwise decisions that lead to poor performance. In this book, speaker and behavioral economist Jay Moreland reveals the hidden emotional biases that affect our actions. He explains the often neglected role of emotions in our investing. And he also teaches you how to implement a sustainable investment strategy that embraces our emotions and uses them to our advantage. JC, this is a great book. I encourage you to call for a free copy of it. Plus, we'll send you our white paper on the target volatility strategy that teaches you or shows you how you can reduce the volatility in your portfolio by up to 90%. And it's a strategy that did very well with the recent Brexit. Didn't even take a hit when Brexit happened. It's all free. If you would like a copy of the book and the information, just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address. Of course, it is the weekend. You will get our voicemail. All we ask is that you leave your name and your address and you get the voicemail. We'll send you the book and the information absolutely free, no cost and no obligation whatsoever. JC, we had this news this week about this woman named Hillary. You might have heard.
Yes. Not sure which news you're referring to, but we've gotten a lot of news on her recently.
About the FBI saying she committed crimes, but we're not going to prosecute her.
Yes. I was a little amused by that, to be honest.
Basically, what they said was she committed a crime, but it's not a crime. If you're Hillary, I guess it's not a crime.
None of that. They listed the crimes.
Right.
And then said, but no reasonable person to prosecute her on this.
Right. It reminds me of Richard Nixon. He once uttered the phrase, if the president does it, it's not illegal.
Right.
It's like if Hillary does it, it's not illegal. So I guess that's where we are, you know.
He even listed the elements of the crime. He didn't just say, you know, she murdered somebody. I mean, it's, you know, actually listed the elements of that crime. I mean, it was amazing to me. And then at the very end, I mean, it completely got me off guard. We're not going to prosecute her. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, I want to talk about another government mess up, if you will, Obamacare, which is a massive screw up from the government, of course.
Yeah, but that's old news.
Yes, but there's new news on the horizon from this. They've got these state marketplaces that they set up, these co-ops that they set up in
the
different states around the country. Yes, we now have 23 out of I think 30 or so of them have failed since they set them up.
23 out of 30. Wow.
They've got another one that just failed. It's Connecticut's. They've just declared it unstable. The state insurance commission has taken it over. And
why are they failing? I mean, lack of money? Is it?
Yeah. Well, because the cost. Get this. This is shocking. I know the cost is far greater than they anticipated it would be to do this.
Golly.
This is a government program, if ever there was one. You know, the cost, they underestimated the cost. You know, we talked last week on the show about this. There's something they have where the government created a slush fund to bail out the insurers nationwide, and the cost has come in at 10 times what they thought it was going
to
be.
That's weird. I thought it would be dirt cheap to insure all the people that couldn't get insurance somewhere else that had pre-existing conditions. I thought it'd be
free.
Cheap. Yeah.
It'd be pretty much free, yeah. So anyhow, Connecticut has now taken over their state co-op and has said that it is not liquid. It is illiquid. And it's insolvent, basically, just like most of the 23 out of 30 of the other ones that are insolvent already. And there's 23 down, 7 to go, JC, you know. And it's at the rate they're going. They're going to get there pretty quick. So.
But do you think that was the goal, that they would all fail and then the government could just take it over?
It does lead down to the road to a single-payer system.
Which is their objective. Kind of the goal the whole time. I mean, I don't think that's any big secret.
Well, Nancy Pelosi and company have stated that was their goal. This is not a secret. I mean, this is what they wanted. Is a single payer system. They want one provider.
Right.
It's not Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's Uncle Sam.
Right.
It's the VA. Basically, we want to have a VA model, which obviously is a terrible model, and nobody wants that. Nobody that is in that system wants that system to be spread nationwide, obviously, except the bureaucrats who don't have to use VA healthcare, of course. The legislators that don't have VA healthcare have their own insurance, of course. But this is it. Oh, this is just another proof. Another nail in the coffin for Obamacare. It's living proof that the system does not work. It's a failed system. It was poorly designed. They didn't estimate the costs anywhere near accurately. And they're losing enrollees, by the way, in Obamacare. A lot of these people that enrolled, you know, have not paid their actual premium. They sign up for the insurance, but they don't pay for the insurance. Jason.
Interesting.
Shocking, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means they really don't have insurance.
Right.
They're not really covered.
Which was kind of the issue they had before Obamacare, is they weren't paying for the insurance, so they didn't have any. Now they're not paying for the insurance, so they don't have any.
I mean, correct. It's but now it's just costing you and me more money.
Well, now they have a tax burden as a result of it, though.
Right. Now they get hit with a tax bill on top of it.
Because let's be honest here, this is not a whole lot different than saying, okay, I'm going to solve the homeless problem. I'm going to make a law. It says, if you don't have a house, you have to buy a house, and if you don't, we're going to charge you a tax penalty as a result.
Right.
I figure that would solve the homeless issue. There'd be no homeless because they'd be required by law to buy a house.
That's right.
I don't see the problem.
Well, and the thing is, you know as well as I do, that there are some people in society that no matter what you do, no matter what you make the cost of healthcare, they're not going to buy it.
Right.
You can make it $10 a month and they still would not buy it.
Right.
There are people that would not pay for it because they have other priorities on their list, like food and shelter, that they want to have more than they want to have healthcare. And they need more than they need healthcare, you know, quite frankly, too.
Liberals are so against the voter ID laws because there are people that just cannot afford an ID. But we assume everyone can afford insurance. I mean, that just it doesn't make any sense.
Well, then we should give them the idea and not charge them for it, which I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, I do agree with that. I have no problem with that. But to me, that still makes the point of if they can't afford an ID, they can't afford insurance either.
Correct. Yes, you're correct. And it's interesting, but yeah, you and I run into people on the streets as officers that don't have ID, and it's not because they can't afford it.
Right. Yeah.
It's because they don't want to carry an ID.
Right.
Because they might have warrants or something like that, and they don't want you to know who they are.
Right.
I mean, it's not because they can't afford the $10 for the ID. I know the real reason behind that. Anyhow, just interesting stuff. We were talking about the emotional investor on this show, JC, the book we're giving away. You know, the emotional investor, how bias influences your decisions. And I want to give you a scenario here, JC. This is about discipline, about following your investment strategy, okay? Let's say you want to find out how to get from A to B. And you're walking, you're on foot. You want to know how to get from A to B. And I tell you, there's a path down here that takes you from A to B. If you follow the path, you'll get there, right?
Right.
Okay. So you look at me and you go, okay, I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to head down the path here. You walk down the path about 10 feet. And then you veer off into the woods. Where you become hopelessly lost.
Okay.
Okay. And then night falls, darkness falls, and you get even more disoriented and lost, right? In the woods.
You can hear the wolves howling.
Right. You can hear the coyotes and everything else. And 3 days later, you emerge from the woods only to chew on me and curse at me and say a few nasty things to me. And I'm like, well, did you follow the path? And you say, for a little bit, you know, I followed it a ways down the road and I went and did this. But then you blame me for the path not getting you to where it was supposed to get you because you didn't follow it, right?
Right, right.
Do we ever see investors do this kind of stuff?
All the time, yeah.
They get into a discipline and they don't follow the discipline. Then they blame their advisor because it didn't work.
Yes, very common.
But they didn't follow the discipline, the path. Is what we have to do. We've got to stay on the path. And I talked about this with Brexit. We had Brexit and everything happening. If you have a discipline, Brexit is the time when you've got to follow it. When things like that happen, and they often do happen, we'll have another one like this before the year's over, whether it's the election or Hillary's email scandal or whatever. We'll have another scandal like Brexit. We'll have something happen to the market to disrupt the market. And then the question is, will you follow your discipline or will you abandon your discipline and go off the path and get lost in the woods? And if you do, don't blame your advisor. That's right. All I can say. Don't blame them for because you veered off the path, because you didn't follow the discipline, because you didn't have the discipline to do what you were supposed to do. That's what investing is all about. That's why people like Warren Buffett are so successful, because they follow their discipline. Warren Buffett has a clear discipline, and he does not ever deviate from it. Back in 2008 and 2009, Warren Buffett took hits on his portfolio, JC. He lost money. Do you think he abandoned his strategy?
No.
Of course
I know he didn't. I
mean,
no thinking about it.
He has one of the most successful investment strategies in history. He didn't abandon, he stuck to it. But he said, you know, sometimes we'll incur losses. And this was one of those times when we incur losses. But he also stepped up and made some incredible buys, Goldman Sachs and GE, General Electric, to name a few, which was what the opportunity created for him, which was ideal, which is what he lives for, to days like that, for years like that. People make fun of Donald Trump for saying that, you know, the housing market collapsed in 08, that he was hoping for a recession or whatever to occur. Well, that's the kind of stuff Warren Buffett lives for.
Right.
You know, markets like that are what Warren Buffett lives for. He waits decades for markets like that, and he takes advantage of them and makes money. There's nothing wrong with that. We've got to take a break. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor. You can get a free copy of it. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387.
Hey, it's me, PC. Would you get on a plane if the pilot said, I'm not sure where we're going, we'll just fly around until we find somewhere to land? Well, then why would you take the greatest trip of all life without a plan? You have no purpose, no idea where you're going or when you'll get there. Yes, you might arrive at your destination through some combination of luck and fate, but chances are you won't. Having a financial plan greatly increases your odds of long-term investment success. LPL Financial has a free plan that accounts for all aspects of your financial life, from disability to life insurance to retirement to estate planning, one that tracks and shows your progress toward your goals every single day. This isn't a plan you do once and then throw on the shelf. It's a living, breathing document that automatically updates your accounts and net worth every day. Most plans help you set goals. This one helps you pursue them. For more information or to get a free financial plan, call Dan Witham today at 888-599-0640. To succeed, you've got to plan. Call Dan today, 888-599-0640.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
How much would you be willing to pay someone to not mow your yard? How much would you pay a roofer to not put a roof on your house? A mechanic to not fix your car? A dentist to not work on your teeth? I know this sounds ridiculous, but you may be doing just that with your investments. Many Wall Street firms use wrap programs to charge you a fee on top of the other fees. Then, they don't do much to earn it. They make infrequent small adjustments to the portfolio that end up having little or no effect on the performance. Dan Witham doesn't do that. His actively managed portfolios are just that, monitored daily and traded when necessary. Isn't it time you actually get what you're paying for? Call Dan Witham today at 888-599-0640. He'll show you what active management is all about. The number again is 888-599-0640. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Money Talk. I'm Dan Witherman, J.C. Haspel here in the studio. Hope you're having a great weekend. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor, How Biases Influence Your Decisions and What You Can Do About It. It's all free. Plus, we'll send you a copy of the Target Volatility Strategy white paper. It teaches you how to reduce volatility in your portfolio by up to 90%. And it's worked very well through the Brexit debacle, so to speak. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. And just leave your name and your address, and we will send you a free copy of the book and the information. It's all free, and the charts and the graphs and everything is in there. And it tells you how we do it, when we do it, why we do it, and everything. And it shows you the annual returns and the graphs and how it reduces the volatility and everything. It makes for a much smoother ride, and it certainly has this year. So you see, target volatility has only been below break-even one day this year, which is a lot better than the market's done.
Very impressive, yes.
So one day out of 180 or so days, it's been below break-even, which is pretty good, you know, when you think about it.
So does that mean it has no down days?
No, absolutely not.
Because that's what a lot of people seem to hear when you
say
that.
Okay, let me clarify that. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me clarify that. That means if you put $10,000 in it January 1 of this year, JC, there's been one day this year where it was worth less than $10,000. It was down 0.5% January 11th, as a matter of fact, was the day. Every other day this year, you'd have had $10,000 or more dollars in your account. A good portion of the days have been down days, of course, just like with any strategy. There's a good portion, about half the days are down days, half the days are up days with the market. So it's had down days, but it hasn't been below break even except for one day this year. That's what I mean. So I'm glad you asked me to clarify that. Thank you. People hear what they want to hear, huh, JC? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of times.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. All the time, I think. Not a lot of the time.
And
all
I don't
the time.
Think any ill intention is there. I just think,
right.
You know. We naturally gravitate to what we like, what we want to hear.
Right.
I mean, you don't like thinking about the bad stuff, so.
That's right. I keep longing to hear the words, Hillary indictment, you know.
Is that what you heard when you
maybe, maybe that's what I'm trying to hear in the FBI statement. Yeah, somehow I didn't hear that. Still didn't hear that. I heard him say she committed crimes, but I didn't hear him say we're gonna charge her with it. So you never know. Why you shouldn't retire at 65, JC? 65 to you is like light years away, I know. You're thinking, I'll never be that old. There's a couple of reasons why you might not want to retire at 65. One, Social Security gives you more if you wait till 70.
Right.
Okay. Two, I was looking at an example here where it says if you have 50,000, you could save, you know, a couple thousand more. If you wait another 4 or 5 years, you could save a couple thousand more. And your savings could yield you another $100 or $200 a month in income just by waiting. Plus, then you have a shorter life expectancy at 70 if you retire versus 65. So you're drawing on it for a shorter period.
Right.
And you have more money in there because you added for four or five more years. You added capital for 4 or 5 more years as well. Plus, you have the growth of your principal, hopefully, you know, along those 4 or 5 years. So the longer we can delay, the better off we're going to be in the end. And, you know, I think the main issue for people isn't so much when they retire, JC, but it's how much they spend after they retire. Too many people spend more than they should.
Yes.
Each year out of their account. And, you know, you tell them you can spend 5% a year or whatever, and they go spend 10 or 8 or 10% a year, and then they wonder why their account's depleted. Well, that's going to happen if you spend more than your account's making.
Right.
You're going to deplete your assets. And you also have to account for years like 2008 where your assets could take a hit. And so this is something you want to look at with your strategy as far as investing goes. And if you did buy and hold, you lost 40 or so percent in 08 and your portfolio is generating less income. So if you're still taking the same dollar amount, say 10,000 a year, whatever it might be, you're taking a much larger percentage at that point.
Right.
Does that make sense? After the drop of 40%, you're taking a much larger percentage out of your account. So you have to accommodate for that. And really you have to accommodate for it in your strategy, your investment strategy, I think. And that's why I like things like target volatility. If you don't go in the hole in the first place, I think you're always going to be better off from an investment perspective than if you take a big drop of, say, 40 or 50%. Do most people think about that when they buy an investment?
Think about what?
A 40 or 50% drop in the investment.
No.
No.
That's not usually the thought.
They look at the graph and the returns and assume that everything's going to go great and it's going to work perfectly from now until eternity, until the cows come home. And the reality is the market doesn't work that way. The economy doesn't work that way. And the investments don't work that way. And so you have to be ready for something like that. And you have to think, you know, what I always try to tell people is, here's the worst case scenario. Here's what it did in its worst year. And here's what you have to prepare for. What would you do if this happened? And most people will abandon their strategy. In 08, millions of people abandoned their strategy. They changed, right, in midterm.
Right.
They were buy and hold until the market dropped 40%.
Right.
Then they were buy and sell on people is what they were. You know, and then they still, many of them are still sitting on the sidelines. And they got out of the market at the wrong time and they didn't get back in. So they didn't recoup the get the benefit of the recovery in the market.
Well, and if you're doing that, your strategy is no longer buy and hold. It's buy until a huge loss and then sell.
Right.
And if you say that ahead of time, that sounds really stupid. But
right.
That's what people do.
Yes.
Buy and hold
not the greatest
is a real,
strategy.
It takes a fair amount of guts, for lack of a better term.
Fortitude.
To stick with buy and hold. That's a tough one on you mentally.
Yes, especially when you have a 40 or 50% drawdown. You know, the 08 drawdown was 54% from top to bottom. That will take the wind out of anybody's sails, I think, just about anybody, except for Warren Buffett of the world. You know, just about anybody else is going to bail at some point along the way there and jump out. A portfolio, JC, with an expected return of 15% and volatility of 10%, okay, has a 93% probability of positive returns in any year. A year.
Okay.
1 year time frame. 93% 1 year. Yet that same portfolio has a probability of being positive in a given month of only 67%.
Okay.
So a portfolio that's up 93% years out of 100 could still be down, you know, 30-some months, 33 months out of 100. This is what people lose sight of a lot of times. They think that monthly it has to go up every month.
Right.
Just because it goes up for a year doesn't mean it goes up every month in the year. And frequently there are months where the market is down. There are frequent months where investments are down. You can't worry about that so much. You have to look, you have to take the long view.
Right.
So to speak, of this strategy, if you're going to have a strategy, unless you're investing from day to day or month to month, which case I wouldn't want to be the person doing that. A good process may produce bad results in the short term. Talking about monthly returns here. You could have a down month for your investment strategy. Then you need to look at the market and see what the market did. Was the market down this month, JC? If the market was down for the same month and you're down, you shouldn't be too upset.
Right.
If the market was up 3% and you're down, then you might want to review your strategy and see if it makes sense, because it still might make sense. You might have a strategy that just doesn't follow the market for some reason. That's quite possible. There are strategies that do that. It's not correlated to the market, I should say. So, but you should review your strategy periodically, but look at it from a year-to-year basis. Don't look at it from a month-to-month basis. Say, compared to where I was last year, where am I today? Instead of compared to where I was 30 days ago, where am
right.
I today? Does that make sense? Look at a longer horizon and see if the strategy is working. Because if you're up over the last year, but you're down over the last month, don't worry about it. You can't do that. There's no strategy out there that's going to be up every single month. It just doesn't exist. I can tell you it's just not going to work that way. And so you have to look at what your horizon is. You know, are you investing for 1 month, JC, or for 30 years?
Long term, 30
right.
years, yeah.
Right. So in 30 years from now, you're going to remember what happened this month? Do you
probably
think?
Not unless it was pretty darn memorable.
Unless Hillary gets indicted, in which case she might. I'm not holding my breath on that
probably
one.
Won't be big stock market news, but
right. I'm not holding my breath on that one happening anyway. But so what I'm trying to say is 30 years from now, this won't matter. Brexit won't matter. In the scheme of things, it's not going to make any difference in anybody's portfolio. It's a bump in the road and that's it. We have to take a break. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor. You can get a free copy of it and our white paper on target volatility. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Each time a butterfly catches my eye.
Welcome back to Money Talk. I'm Dan Witham, along with J.C. Haspel. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor: How Biases Influence Your Investment Decisions and What You Can Do About It. You can get a free copy of this book, along with our white paper on target volatility strategy. It's all free. Just give me a call if you'd like it at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address, and we will send you the book and the report absolutely free, no cost and obligation. JC, I've been so pleased with target volatility. The strategy.
I've noticed that.
It's worked very, very well through this market, and it's up, 10.5% year to date. The market's up about 2 year to date, so it's crushing the market, and it's done it with 1/10 of the volatility of the overall market. So I'm very pleased with the outcome of it. By the way, our volatility spiked last month, JC, in June, in the market, mainly because of Brexit.
Quite a bit, actually.
Is what caused it.
It spiked in both directions.
But what's happened is it's caused us to pull back in the model and target volatility. We pulled back and gone to heavy into treasuries, and so we've reduced our equity exposure, gone into treasuries. And so we will see how this works out, but it's cut our equity exposure in half for this month. So we've reduced it by half, which is quite a bit for this model. It's quite a drastic move. The last time we saw volatility spike like this was, JC, you know when it was?
No.
August of 2008.
Really? Oh, wow.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that severe.
Yeah. And the following month, the market dropped 16%, by the way, so...
My guess was going to be Greece. I pay attention
to things like this. When this kind of stuff happens, I pay attention. Yeah. And so we'll see if the model's right or wrong. It could be totally wrong, and the market might not tank at all this month, but it's predicting a decline of some sort. The volatility model is predicting a decline in the market, so we're some kind of storm on the horizon, shall we say. So I'm going to follow its advice with target volatility, and we pulled back and gone to half what the equity exposure was last month. And that's what we do with this target volatility, by the way, is we adjust every month each position based on the volatility of that specific position. Why do we do that, JC? I'll give you a story here. He'll say.
I love story time.
Okay, I lived in Chile back in...
Yes, college?
High school. I was an exchange student back in the day, many years ago. I was an exchange student down in Chile. Chile right now, JC, is in the middle of winter. Okay?
Because they're south of the equator?
They're in the southern hemisphere, right? They're in the middle of their winter. So when you go outside today, would you want to wear a winter coat?
If it's the winter?
No, here.
Oh, here.
I'm Tulsa.
Yeah, no, I would not want to wear a winter coat here in Tulsa.
Would it be rather warm if you wore a winter coat?
These are such hard questions.
Yeah, sorry.
yes, it would be warm.
What about a hat and gloves and a scarf?
No, I would not want to wear any of those.
Okay. So you'd rather dress for the weather where you're at than for somewhere else in the world?
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Good. It's not a trick question. So you go get him. It's a trick.
Give me a minute to think about this, though.
Sorry. What I'm trying to say is, so if we're buying you large cap value and we're adjusting your large cap value, would you rather we adjust it based on the volatility of large cap value or on the volatility of oil?
Let's go with large cap value.
Okay. Which makes sense.
Right.
Because you wouldn't want to dress for the weather in Chile.
Right.
Same reason. You don't want to adjust your portfolio to some other index that has nothing to do with that index.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say. That's why we adjust each index, each position, based on that index for that position.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
It certainly does to me. Because the volatility of oil and the volatility of large cap value are not necessarily the same. They don't move at the same time in the same direction.
Oh, right, yeah.
Kind of frequently they don't.
Often they're not, yeah.
They're non-correlated, what we call non-correlated. So we don't adjust to the overall market. We adjust each position to that index of that position, large cap value, small cap growth, whatever it might be. We look at that volatility every month. We scale up or scale down the position, and we keep the balance in treasuries. So each position has 10% in the portfolio, JC, maximum of 10%. So let's go to large cap value again. Let's say we have 3% in large cap value and 7% in treasuries. for that month. Then the volatility spikes on large cap value, so we cut it back to 2%. Let's just say we cut it back to 2. And then so treasuries go to 8%, basically. We make these minor adjustments every month. That's all we do with target volatility. We're trying to keep the volatility of the overall portfolio constant, which is the movement of the portfolio, constant. We're trying to keep it at a relatively small level. And so far, what we've seen, what the models have shown, is that we're able to do this by doing this. We're able to keep the volatility at about 1/10 of what the overall index or market is doing. Back in 2008, the volatility of large cap value jumped up to 75%. Standard deviation, 75%. The model kept it at below 5% by adding treasuries. Just basically taking money out of large cap value and putting it into treasuries. Reduced the volatility quite a bit. What's the other advantage to buying treasuries, JC? What do they do when stocks go down usually?
Oftentimes they go up.
They've been going up certainly in the last couple of years, yes. And this year in particular, they've gone up quite a bit. In fact, treasuries have contributed the bulk of the return to the portfolio. Portfolio is up 10.5% right now. Treasuries are the main contributor to that improvement, to that performance, has been treasuries. They've done extremely well. They've done very well this year, mainly because the market's not done so well. And then we've had volatility. The more we have volatility, the more we have a flight to quality, the more treasuries do well. Gold's been going up the last couple of weeks, we've noticed, which is the fear trade, right?
Right.
Same as treasuries. It's a fear trade. People buy treasuries when they're fearful of the market. When the market doesn't do well, people buy treasuries. Treasuries tend to do pretty well in this kind of market. And this year, one of the treasury indexes is up, I think, 15 or 16% this year, which is phenomenal compared to the market. That's 8 times what the market's up, you know, at about 2% for the overall market. So treasuries have been very, very good this year, good place to own. And the other thing is, they act as a hedge for the overall portfolio. If you have 50% in treasuries and 50% in stocks, and the market goes down, your treasury is going to go up a little bit. So your portfolio is not going to move very much because they're offsetting each other, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Right.
But the nice part of using treasuries as a hedge in the portfolio is over time, treasuries go up and the stocks have gone up over time too. Both have gone up in price over time, but they just smooth out the ride by having both in there. They smooth out the ride and you're betting a little bit on each. And so if one goes up more than the other, then you still have it at the end of the day. The other thing is it makes it a lot easier to tolerate because if you have all stocks in your portfolio, you're in for a rough ride. You're going to have a rough ride. There's no question about it. No matter how good the market is, you're going to be all over the place. But with treasuries in there and target volatility, it smooths out the ride because on the days when the market's down, the treasuries go up. Target volatility does extremely well on down days for the market. That's what I've seen so far. And mainly because it's weighted in treasuries. Now it's more than half in treasuries. It's doing very well in the down days for the market because the treasuries are jumping up. And so the more market volatility we have, the more you're going to want treasuries, I guess you would say, at the end of the day. At least for me, that's how it is. That's how I view it. And that's why I like target volatility so much. It's a simple strategy. We make the trades once per month. We adjust every position once a month. There's 10 positions in the portfolio. We adjust them once a month. There's no transaction charge when we make the adjustments. You don't get dinged for a charge, a ticket charge, or a commission every time we do it. No. You just pay a flat annual fee to have the account run. That's all there is. So it's cost effective. It's also very simple. We use an algorithm that tells us how much to put into each position based on a target volatility level. We're seeking to control the volatility of the portfolio. The nice part is, JC, we don't have big moves in the portfolio. We have small, gradual moves every month, and usually they're less than 1% actually a month is what I'm seeing, which is very good. It's easy for a client to open the statement and see it, and they don't flip out and go, ah, we're down 5 or up 5 right. or whatever. You know, we're all over the place. It leads to less panic and a more calm, I think, investor, which is good for the investor in the long run, because what does panic induce an investor to do?
Bad decisions.
Bail.
Yes.
Induces them to bail, doesn't it, on their investment, and then blame somebody else or themselves, whoever. I mean, but typically when people get freaked out about investments when they bail, when they look at their statement in 08, if they're down 10 or 20%, they're going to bail. If you're not down or you're down 1%, you're not going to bail so much as if the market's down 10 or 20, you're probably likely to stay with it. Knowing that you're outperforming the market by a wide margin, you're probably going to be more inclined to stay with the strategy. And at the end of the day, the only strategy that does you any good is the one that you follow.
All right.
If you don't follow a strategy, it's not really doing you much good, no matter what strategy it is, no matter how good it is. Yeah. If you don't follow it, it's not doing you much good, right?
Excellent point, yeah.
It's about discipline. And this is one of the things that I've learned after 25 years of doing this, is it is all about discipline. Bill Sherman once said, we all seek to know the unknowable, do you see?
Especially in investing.
Yes. That's why we watch CNBC. Why do we put faith in experts on CNBC, JC? Because we want to know what the market's going to do. We want to believe that they know what's going on.
The difference in investing, though, is people think the unknowable can be learned.
You're correct. That's exactly correct.
And then they make a decision based on what they think they've learned, and they haven't.
Right. And they put faith in these experts on TV, and then they go out and make an investment decision based on what some expert on TV says. But the fact is, if they bothered to step back and take a look at that expert's recommendations track record, they would realize it's no better than random.
Right.
And that it's not that good of a record. And they wouldn't be putting money on something based on what that guy said or that woman said based on that. But the problem is CNBC doesn't make that available to you, do they? They don't tell you what so-and-so's track record is of predicting the market.
No.
Now, like Mark Faber, who's been right one day in his life, I think, and been wrong every other day for his life because he says the market's going to tank 90% every day he's on TV. Every doggone time he's on TV, says the market's going to tank 90%. And he's been wrong almost every time. We could take a break. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor. Just give me a call if you'd like a copy of it and our white paper on target volatility. We'll send them both to you for free. Number to call, 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387.
That's just not how this world goes round. It seems that happy comes with sad, and the good with the bad.
Hey, it's me, PC. Some retirees make money mistakes. You want to avoid them. Don't retire too soon. Work as long as you can, if you can. Social Security benefits rise about 8% for each year you don't take them. Don't misjudge health care costs. A couple retiring at 65 need about $240,000 just to pay for future medical bills. And don't expect a short retirement. The Social Security Administration says around half of today's 65-year-olds will live to be 85. Don't withdraw too much. Many retirees withdraw about 4% of their savings annually. Any more, and you may find your nest egg shrinking. Don't be hands-off about your investments. Watch annual account fees. Even a 1% difference could be thousands less in retirement savings. Lastly, don't touch your home equity or IRA to pay college costs. Pay retirement costs first. Plan to avoid these mistakes with the help of the financial professional you know and trust. Call Dan Witham at 888-599-0640. That's 888-599-0640.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Did you ever play hide-and-seek when you were a kid? It was fun, wasn't it? But do you really want to play the same game with your investments? Wall Street loves to sell you products that have fees buried, well, deeper than Jimmy Hoffa's body. You've got to have a PhD in economics and a master's in finance just to begin to comprehend where the fees are and how much you're actually paying. That's why Dan Witham is different. He not only tells you where the fees are, he'll actually give you a printout that lists all the fees associated with his investments. Knowledge is power. Get smart about your investments. Call Dan Witham at LPL Financial today at 888-599-0640. That's 888-599-0640. 888-599-0640. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
BizTalkRadio.com.
If I could only make the sun shine, if I could only make the moon rise, if I could only make the stars bright, I would do.
Welcome back to Money Talk. I'm Dan with the Mall of J.C. Haspel. I want to remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor, How Biases Influence Your Investment Decisions and What You Can Do About It. You can get a free copy of it and our white paper on target volatility strategies that shows you the graphs, the charts, the annual returns, the who, what, when, where, why, and how of target volatility and how it works. And I know it's something you probably never heard of unless you listen to this show regularly. You probably haven't heard of it. The number to call for all the information, 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we will send it to you absolutely free. No cost, no obligation whatsoever. JC, we're talking about target volatility, and we're talking about predictions before the break. People think that these guys on CNBC can predict the market, don't they? We want to believe that they can predict the market. We seek to know the unknowable. We think that somebody knows it, right? We want to see that they know it. Well, I'm going to show you how accurate some of these predictions have been. In 2013, the Wall Street Journal surveyed 49 economists, okay? And the question was, will 10-year Treasury rate be higher or lower in 2014 than the current rate, which was 2.9 at the time, okay? The average return they predicted was 3.5 for the following year, higher than 2.9, right? 48 out of 49 predicted it would be higher. Not just 25 or so, but 48 out of 49.
Right.
48 out of 49. Think about this. How many that is percentage-wise. That's 97%, 98%, right. Something like that. Guess who was right? The other one.
Right.
The one who said it would be lower. Turned out to be, came in at 2.2 the following year. So 98% of them were wrong, which statistically, if you flip the coin, you get a 50% chance, right?
Right.
Roughly a 50% chance of it coming in one way or the other. They weren't wrong. They were dead wrong. And these guys are experts in the industry. And the question was a simple question. It shows you how accurate they are. From 1958 to 2010, the actual GDP figures from economists fell outside the 90% confidence range of plus or minus two standard deviations. Roughly half the time they were wrong.
Wow.
They couldn't even get it in the range, let alone the direction. They couldn't even get a range that was correct. Which is scary when you think about it.
Right, right.
Because a 90% confidence range is a pretty big range, statistically, because I love statistics, but I can just tell you it's plus or minus two standard deviations. It's a pretty big range. In 2008, I'm going to give you another great prediction here. Ben Bernanke, July of 2008.
I remember this one.
July of 2008, he said the government-sponsored enterprises to wit, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae, Freddie Mac. Housing.
Right.
Government-sponsored enterprises are adequately capitalized. They are in no danger of failing. What happened 2 months later? Two of them failed. They were gone, yes. And that was Ben Bernanke. Of course, he's also the guy that said the housing market would not affect the overall economy. Got to make you wonder.
It's somewhat of an easy trap to fall into, thinking that somebody knows what the market's going to do. You know, if you ask somebody to pick a number between one and a million, you know, the odds of them picking the right number are pretty far off.
Right. About one in a million, I'd say.
But if you ask somebody what direction the market's going to go, well, they've only got really three options. Either going to be right. The same, it's going to go up, or it's going to go down. So yes. There's a 33% chance. Actually, it's, you know, not really 33, but it's roughly 33% chance that they're going to get it right. And so if somebody does that once, well, it's easy to look like, well, that person knows exactly what they're talking about. They nailed it right on the head.
Right. And this is the thing, the fallacy that we fall into, is we have these people like Abby Joseph Cohen from Goldman Sachs who make once-in-a-lifetime predictions and get it right one time. And then we think forever that they're right, that they're going to be right. And, of course, they're wrong every time after that. They get it wrong.
Right.
And this has happened with several different people on Wall Street, on CNBC. And she's one of them. But, you know, people put all their faith in what she says, and she's wrong every time after that. Because by one time, by pure luck, she got it right.
Right.
And so that they think she's some kind of guru when in reality they're not.
The other thing to remember is the only people that get to go on TV and give market predictions are the people that are predicting something outrageous. Nobody gets to go on TV and say, yeah, I think the market's going to be calm, maybe up 2 or 3% for the next year or so.
Right.
No one does that. That's not a headline.
That's
the only
a good
people
point.
That get to go on TV are the people that say, oh, the Dow's going down to 5,000.
Yeah. Mark
the Dow's going up to 30. You know,
yeah, the Mark Fabers of the world.
Right.
And you're right. That's why they have Mark Faber on. It's not because he's right. The guy's never been right. I don't think he's ever been right. But he gets on there and says, we're in for a 90% crash. And we're in for a depression. Not a recession, a depression. Jim Cramer. You want to talk about people that get your attention on TV. This is why Jim Cramer's on TV. It's not because he's right, I can tell you. What does he do? He has cowbells and whistles and buttons and all kinds of things. He punches and screams and yells. In 2008, he told investors to take all their money out of the market for the next 5 years. Now, if you'd followed his advice, you would have missed an 84% appreciation over the next 5 years in the market. Not such a good choice. It is not whether these people are well-trained. Daniel Kahneman says, the guy who wrote this one book, Thinking Fast and Slow. He says, the question is not whether these people are well-trained, it is whether the world is predictable. And that is it, exactly. It's whether their world is predictable. The market is not predictable, JC. If you ask me the market's going up or down the next month, I don't know the answer.
Right.
Nobody knows the answer. Anybody that tells you no, they know the answer, doesn't know. And that should make you question. Why? Why do we buy this policy? Why do we believe what people say on the TV? Because same reason Barack Obama got elected twice. You're probably wondering about this, aren't you?
Okay.
He got elected because people don't want to have to think and do for themselves. It's the same with the investment world. We don't want to have to do our own due diligence. We want to punt that responsibility to someone else, right? We want somebody to tell us what's going to happen. We don't want to have to go do the homework, JC. We don't want to do the heavy lifting. We want somebody to tell us what's going to happen. And we also want certainty. We don't have confidence in our own decision, but for some reason, we put that confidence in somebody else's decision about the same, very same subject. And frequently, it's somebody who knows no more about it than you or I do. But they just happen to be on TV. And so we put all our faith in them, whether it's Mark Faber or Jim Cramer, whoever it might be on TV, or Abby Joseph Cohen. And we go out and invest money based on something they tell us, when in fact they know no more about it than we do.
If somebody says they know where something's going to go, a stock or the market or whatever, first question I'd ask them is, well, how much did you get on the second mortgage of your house? Because obviously you're going to be taking out every loan you can, putting every dime you can into this stock if you know where it's going to go.
Right.
No one's really doing that.
Absolutely right. So we're about out of time, and I want to thank you for listening and remind you of our free book, The Emotional Investor, How Biases Influence Your Investment Decisions. You can get a free copy of it and our white paper on target volatility. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.